My nephew Noah was spending the day with us. He's only about 26 days apart from my son Zeke. So the two boys grew up together. And Jeanette and I had the boys over, and they were, I don't know, two and a half, three, something like that, toddlers, you know, walking around, getting into the mischief. And I don't mean to brag this morning because this isn't a place for pride, but I need to tell you that I had quite the Hot Wheels collection. Camaros, Mustangs, Corvettes, muscle cars, all kinds of emergency vehicles and trucks. Yeah, it was a pretty good collection. But that day, I decided that Zeke and Noah were old enough to play with my Hot Wheels. So I would give them Hot Wheels, and Noah would take him and walk off, and a couple minutes later, he'd come back, and he would say, "More, Uncle Steve." I would give him a couple more, and he'd walk off, and he'd come back and go, "More, Uncle Steve." And it dawned on me a few times, I'm not a quick learner, that after a few times, he kept coming back. I said, "Noah, where are the other Hot Wheels that I'm giving you?" And he says, "Oh, I don't know." Well, then it was a hunt for my Hot Wheels, and I couldn't find them anywhere. Well, it was later in the day, and the boys were getting tired, and I thought, well, maybe it's time for a video. For those of you who are under 20, a video is a tape that's, well, it's kind of like a DVD. And so I took Barney. Oh, by the way, Barney had a birthday, I think. I think he turned 20, so we're very excited about that. But I took a Barney video, and I went to put it into the VCR, that's a video cassette recorder, and it wouldn't fit in. And I thought, well, this is odd. So, like a normal man, I shoved it. And then it got stuck. And then as I pulled it out, I looked in after I opened the door, and lo and behold, every one of my Hot Wheels that I gave Noah was in the VCR. I discerned that giving my Hot Wheels to Noah was not the best idea. Now, good news, Noah has turned out perfectly fine. He's a freshman at UC Santa Cruz and a proud banana slug. That's their mascot. Jesus has already said here in the Sermon on the Mount that we are to love and treat people better than others love and treat people. He said things like, "Let your light shine before others, that they see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." He said, "Anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell." He said, "Do not resist an evil person." He said, "Love your enemies." And last week, Amanda reminded us that Jesus said, "Do not judge." But the danger for the disciple here, as Jesus has told us to love and treat people differently and better than the world, is this. Amanda said this last week. The danger is we work so hard to not be judgmental that we also stop appropriately discerning and speaking truth. By the way, what a great sermon. And this is a good reminder that we are to judge and yet not be judgmental. You see, what happens is when we stop judging appropriately, when we stop our spiritual discernment, we become wishy-washy in our faith and life, and we stop discerning between truth and error. Those things are diametrically opposed. We stop discerning between what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's evil, what's righteous and what's unrighteous, what's biblical and what's unbiblical. And we get to the place where we say, well, love conquers all. But love without truth is no love at all. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Paul is encouraging the church at Ephesus to have an appropriate spiritual discernment so that they're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. In our text today, this is what Jesus is warning us to be aware of, that spiritual discernment, yes, making appropriate judgment, is important. He says, and it's kind of an obscure, I wish he just came out and said it, but it's a parable and an obscure one at that. And thank you, Pastor Corey, that I ended up on the preaching schedule for this baby. Jesus says, do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. So let's unpack this a minute. By dogs and pigs, the hearers of the words of Jesus would know all too well what he's talking about. But we need a little enlightenment. These dogs were dogs that were wild in essence, and they would travel throughout the desert, and they would steal, and they would beg, and they would do almost anything they could for food. And the pigs were more likely wild boars. That makes a difference. It's not the cuddly little pigs that you have as a pet that, you know, grow to this size. But the wild boars, and so these dogs and pigs in the end are wild, savage pack animals who steal from the hungry, and the wild boars enacting all kinds of violence. These were nuisance animals. What Jesus is talking about here are people who are savage and vicious. And guess what? It is appropriate to discern, to judge, when someone is being savage and vicious. Jesus doesn't mean when he says, do not judge, that we are to say to the savage and vicious, keep up with your good work. Do you? Not at all. Jesus says, watch out for these. He says, what is sacred and pearls, do not cast those things before them. That which is of the greatest price or worth to us, this here is the kingdom of God, the good news, the gospel of the kingdom of God. We are not to take the gospel of the kingdom of God and throw it before those who are savage and vicious against that kingdom. Jesus says later in Matthew 13, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. Remember, we've talked about using Scripture to interpret Scripture. If we want to understand what Jesus means by pearls, all we have to do is go to Matthew 13 and see how Jesus uses the word pearls. And he uses the word pearls here as a likeness for the kingdom of heaven. And so too, in our parable, this is the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus is saying, don't take the kingdom of heaven, the gospel, the good news, and throw it before those who are vicious and antagonistic and savage against it, because they will trample, turn, and tear. Think about this. Dogs and wild boar may at first try to eat these pearls. Think about this in the concept and in terms of the parable itself. You throw pearls before dogs and wild boars, and they go, ooh, shiny. And they try to eat it, but then they quickly realize, well, this is not food, and sooner or later, they will figure this out and turn on you. This is what Jesus is saying about those who are savage and vicious to the gospel. These are the people who outright reject the gospel of the kingdom of God for the kingdom of the world. They're living in the kingdom of the world and say, no, thank you, I'm fine here. When we try to offer the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. In 2 Peter, as we heard read for us this morning, Peter says, these people are springs without water and mists driven by a storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them. Of them, the proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that is washed returns to her wallowing in the mud. Now, on the blue slip, it says Ephesians 4. It's really 2 Peter. But the reality here is that Peter is saying the same thing that Jesus is saying, and with the same analogy, the same parable. Do you think that maybe Peter remembers this parable? I do. Peter was there as Jesus gave it. And so Peter is saying, just as Jesus did, beware of those who are dogs and wild boars. Here's the point that Jesus is making in this text, I think. Sometimes we're not altogether sure. But here's the point that I think Jesus is making. There are some in the kingdom of the world who were well and good and happy with the ruler of the world ruling their lives. And these will be hostile then to the gospel of the kingdom of God, which is of great worth. And we are to be discerning in our proclamation of that kingdom. Jesus was discerning in his proclamation of the kingdom. Jesus invested himself in those who would receive the kingdom of God. As Jesus enters into Jerusalem, the triumphant entry, Jesus, as he comes in, is declared king. This reminds us of Jesus' spiritual discernment regarding the kingdom of God. Jesus has been very careful with whom he has invested spiritually, often saying, do you remember? Keep it quiet. Keep it secret. Don't tell anyone. The wedding at Cana, he told his mother, don't tell anyone that I turned the water into wine. On several other pilgrimages, he enters into Jerusalem and he tells the disciples, don't tell anyone about the kingdom of God. There are other times that Jesus preaches about his death and resurrection, and he says, keep it quiet. Keep it secret. Don't tell anyone. What's Jesus doing there? That's spiritual discernment. He knows that in those times, it's not yet to be revealed that he is the Messiah. It is when he enters into Jerusalem that Jesus finally realizes, well, it's time now to lay all my cards on the table, to give before these religious leaders. Yes, he would call them dogs. Yes, he would call them swine. He called them worse, a pit of vipers. Ooh. As Jesus enters into Jerusalem, most scholars believe that there were about 50 people who were his true followers. 50. The rest of the crowd that gathers are just those who are kind of caught up in the fanfare and the rigmarole. Why has Jesus been discerning? He knows that as he enters into Jerusalem and unfolds his plan, as he gives them the gospel of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, that they will reject it. And not only reject the gospel, the good news, but they will reject the messenger of the good news, the one who brings the good news, Jesus himself. Jesus has been wise in discerning who will hear and who won't. Jesus knows the importance of being spiritually discerning and encourage his disciples to do the same. In Matthew chapter 10, just three chapters past the one we're in today, Jesus sends out the disciples for the first time to deliver the kingdom of God. He empowers them that they might teach. He equips them that they might cast out demons and heal as he has. And he reminds the disciples to be discerning in whom they share, with whom they share the gospel. In Matthew 10, Jesus says to them as he sends them out, remember, he sends them out with nothing. Don't take any money. Just take your pair of sandals and the cloak that you're wearing. People will take care of you, Jesus says. But then he says, if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. He says, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. Friends, when we think about our own gospel proclamation, as we think about delivering the gospel with our words if necessary, certainly in our actions and our deeds, Jesus reminds us, be discerning, pay attention. Not everyone will receive what Christ offers. And if they're not open to the gospel, then move on. Love, of course. Continue relationship, absolutely. But share the gospel, maybe not now. Be as wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Let us pray. Father, this is a difficult teaching, so we come to you at the end of it. Lord, there's a fine balance between judging and being judgmental. Lord, we pray against our judgmentalism. We pray that you would stir within us hearts of love and grace and mercy for all people. And Lord, we also pray that in that endeavor, we don't become wishy-washy in our faith and life, but we maintain an appropriate spiritual discernment. May we speak truth where there is error. May we advocate for right when there are wrongs. May we lift up good above evil, righteousness above unrighteousness. And may we hold to the truth of our biblical truth against those things that are unbiblical. Lead us into a world that is not receptive. You send us out as you've sent out the first disciples, as sheep among wolves. Protect, guide, and direct us. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Please stand now as we sing together our hymn.